Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Congress is going to vote. Congress can vote any day it wants to. You know, the majority leader has the right to bring something to the floor and have a vote. So this is really, I think, a little bit excessive. I mean, the truth is also Congress will have to vote to lift ultimately some of the sanctions which are congressionally mandated. Mm-hmm. So we all understand the process here, and I think we just need to be serious in a way that does not interfere with the president's ability to pursue the foreign policy interests of our nation.
Right. In other words, that nasty little Congress can do its own thing, but, you know, it really shouldn't get in the way of the golfer. That's all. I mean, if he wants to do a deal with the supreme leader of Iran that sells out the United States and sells out our Western allies, that's his prerogative. That nasty little Congress of ours, that's an impediment. That's an antique thing. That's like, oh, it's quaint. The idea of a Congress voting, they can do their thing, says Kerry, but it's sort of like the trolley cars in San Francisco. They're cute, but they get in the way of a genius, the Messiah, Obama. Now, I've been criticized for calling the president insane yesterday, but I try to take you step by step down the process. I said he is only a man. Why is he above the laws of humanity? A man can get a cold. A man can get the flu. A man can get pneumonia. A man can become ill in many ways, including mentally ill. Aren't we told by the liberals that mental illness is prevalent? And it must be part of Obamacare because everyone seems to suffer from it. So if mankind can suffer from various ills, including mental illness, why is it possible that a president could not be suffering from a mental illness? So I've proven to you that it is logically possible for a president, I didn't say Obama, to be mentally ill. So now let's go to the specific case of the mentally ill president that we have, Obama, because I think he's showing all the signs of a clear mental illness. Why do I say it? Because the choices are either A, B, and C. He signs a deal with Iran, or allegedly lays out a deal with Iran. He trumpets it as a great salvation for the world. And today we wake up, and the supreme bugaboo of Iran, whatever his name is, says that all the sanctions must be lifted on the same day as the nuclear deal, period. In other words, they raise the stakes. They know they're dealing with someone who doesn't have a full deck himself. They know he's a guy who's going to do a deal at all costs. They know that Kerry is a fraud and a liar. And they know that they got everything they wanted, so they're raising the stakes. It's the way it's done. They're Middle Easterners. That's how you buy and sell rugs. If someone offers you the price that you've asked for, you raise the price. So they're raising the price. That's how they do business. But he said Iran's sanctions must be lifted on the same day as the nuclear deal, Rouhani. So in other words, Obama's been proven to be I'm going to give you three choices. A, naive, B, crazy, or C, a collaborator. Now, none of you want to believe he's a collaborator with Iran, right? Most of you don't want to agree he's naive because he's the smartest man in the history of the world. That leaves us with choice three. I rest my case. Iran is openly mocking Obama, and yet the golfer continues to push the so-called deal. That's question number one. There is no question. But a very interesting exchange took place between a reporter named Matt Lee from the AP, who I believe finally, he is the one who stands up to this moron in the State Department, this Marie Barf, who is the product of an insane liberal upbringing where everything is a joke to her and everything is a mockery and everything is laughing at people. Nothing matters. So let's listen to the full exchange between the Associated Press reporter, a real journalist, Matt Lee, and this laughing stock who should have been fired after she said that in order to stop ISIS, they should have a job training program. Remember that from last month? Her answer to the problem of ISIS is not the Quran and the hateful ideology they're following. No, the answer is for them to put down their weapons and pick up, I don't know what, a jobs training program? They're going to flip camel burgers in Iraq? Let's listen in today.
Has the secretary spoken to Henry Kissinger?
I said he's spoken to some of his predecessors here. I'm not probably going to get into more specifics.
Why,
yes.
Well, why not? Because if he has, spoken to Kissinger and Schultz, they clearly weren't very persuaded.
I'm happy to check on the full list.
This their column mm-hmm. is far from nuanced, I think. basically
really?
Says that this
you don't
is,
think it's nuanced?
Well, I just, I mean, I've read it, and I, you know, it's
I
pretty.
I also read it.
Yeah, and you don't think it's pretty damning?
I wouldn't say that it's damning. I think that there are a lot of opinions on this, and the secretary is happy to speak to people to let them know what we've done, and that conversation will continue.
All right. Well, maybe there's invisible ink or something like that, or you're reading
between
the lines.
Is there a question,
the
or
lines.
Are you just commenting?
Well, I want to know what you...
I'm
you
not going to go line by line.
Outright? I mean, they say no. that this is a recipe for disaster, basically. You say no, clearly. I mean, you wouldn't be pursuing something you thought was a recipe for disaster. Is that correct?
Correct, Matt.
Okay. So... one of the things they say is that absent a linkage between nuclear and political restraint, America's traditional allies will conclude that the U.S. has traded temporary nuclear cooperation for acquiescence to Iranian hegemony in the region. Not true?
I would obviously disagree with that. I think that an Iran backed up by a nuclear weapon would be more able to project power in the region. And so that's why we don't want them to get a nuclear weapon. That's what this deal does. And I didn't hear a lot of alternatives. I heard a lot of sort of big words and big thoughts in that piece, and those are certainly, there's a place for that, but I didn't.
That's the key line. This is this snotty girl who works for John Kerry who says, once you hear the word sort of, you know where she's coming from. This is a why do I call Obama run by a sorority? This is the mind of a sorority girl. Now she's talking about Henry Kissinger's incredible piece in the Wall Street Journal, written, by the way, with another former Secretary of State who I respect greatly, George Shultz, where they spell out the consequences of the Iran deal in great detail. And this lowlife, this nobody, this nonentity, as they used to say back when, this nonentity girl says, I heard a lot of sort of big words and big threats in that piece. Yeah, and there's a place for that. You hear a lot of big words. I can't believe what level this individual in the White House has sunk the American experience down to. He has trashed the White House to a level I don't know if we can ever recover from it. So what am I asking you? Nothing. But the piece by Kissinger and Shultz is the issue. 2,000 words, published in the Wall Street Journal, the Iran deal and its consequences. And basically they're saying it lets Iran get what they want and it makes the world a much more dangerous place, in plain English. The next day we wake up and Iran raises the stakes and says, guess what? The sanctions that you have on us will not be removed slowly, as we agreed to. They must be lifted on the same day as the nuclear deal. Go to hell. Because they know they have a weak opponent in John Kerry and Barack Obama. Which leads us back where we started from, to the next point, which is the police killing in South Carolina. I didn't think I was going to handle this when it happened because to me, it was an open and shut case of homicide. The policeman committed murder. He should be arrested for murder and given the death sentence, death penalty. Don't get shocked. Just as there can be renegade presidents, there can be renegade police. We have a renegade out of control presidency, and we have a renegade out of control cop in this case. Now, I want to go back with you. There was a reaction by Michael Savage to the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson, which I have on record, which we're going to play for you, so I can't be misinterpreted. I clearly said Michael Brown was a thug who beat up the Indian shopkeeper after robbing his store and then tried to disarm the officer in Ferguson, and he got what he deserved. It was either the cop's life or his. That was my position. And then on the issue of Eric Garner, the big gentle giant in Brooklyn, I'm on record with that. And I said that the cop should be given a murder charge for that one because he choked him to death. I watched that tape of Eric Garner begging for his life, saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And then when the thug cop got him on the ground, he put his foot on his face and they killed him. That cop should have been given a homicide charge. This cop was shot in South Carolina. He shot this black man in the back. 7 or 8 times. By the way, he's a terrible shot. He only hit him on the 8th shot, which is no joke. And then he has the nerve to go up and handcuff a dead man and throw the taser next to him to make believe the guy grabbed it. Open and shut death penalty. Now, I want to tell you that many of you are going to attack me because I'm not 100% on page with you, that every cop is good, every cop is great. Wrong. Just as I've been arguing, we can have rogue presidents, we can have rogue cops. We can have rogue talk show hosts. Aren't there rogue talk show hosts who you hate? Well, you can have a rogue president, as we have. You can have a rogue cop, as we saw in South Carolina. So what are you going to sit there and justify shooting a guy in the back? It's a shame it's a white and black, but it is. It's a shame that we have haters like Al Sharpton who've made a living off things like this, but we do, and we have to live with them. So I want to go back in time when I come back from the break, and I want to play for you a couple of things. One, Michael Savage's reaction to the Michael Brown shooting so you can be on record with me. Then I want to play for you Michael Savage's reaction to the Eric Garner murder on Staten Island, where I said it was murder. And then I want to take your calls on all of the big topics I've raised on the Savage Nation. Admittedly, these are big words for liberals. I've used sometimes two or three syllables. I realize it's not a single syllable. And I've used several different tenses. I realize it's not all in the present tense. And I realize that makes it very, very hard for those of you who are on crack and create crack music. I'll be right back.
It might be too nuanced an argument for some.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Three topics are on the table on the Savage Nation. Iran's so-called supreme leader said there is no deal. He said America lies. He said the U.S. is lying in their description. The fact sheet put up by the liar in the White House and his sorority is a complete lie. The Ayatollah said the fact sheet was, quote, contrary to what was agreed to. In another statement, the supreme leader said, I'm really worried as the other side is into lying and breaching promises. An example was the White House fact sheet, close quote. In other words, he's calling Obama what he is, what we know him to be, a liar. So even the Iranians are saying he's a liar. Now we have the other topic of the police shooting. If you haven't seen the videotape, watch it. It's sickening. Black guy is stopped because he has a broken taillight. There's a scuffle, apparently. The black guy runs away. He's unarmed, no arms, and the cop shoots him in the back eight times. Misses seven times, apparently, hits him the eighth time. Then the cop goes up and throws the taser down next to him and reports that he took his taser. Sorry, open and shut case. No, don't support this, please. Don't call up and tell me the brave cop was afraid for his life. Josh on WFNC, please don't tell me that you believe the officer was right.
No, I don't, Dr. Kravitz. I don't believe he was right, but I believe that a lot of different media, and I'm not saying which ones particularly, but certain media outlets, I believe, miss some of the facts. And I don't believe he's right at all, and I agree with
you. What's the main fact, though? He was unarmed, he was running away, and he was shot in the back. Is that not the main fact?
Well, but there...
What crime had he committed? Did he rape an old woman? Did he beat someone to death? He had a broken taillight. I mean, I thought we live in a country where the punishment should fit the crime.
I agree with you, Dr. Seth.
And then the Eric Garner case in Brooklyn. What was his crime? Selling cigarettes on the streets of Staten Island? They choked him to death?
I agree with you. What I'm saying...
So where do we disagree?
We disagree on the fact that a lot of the points that are being missed in this case, because if you're going
to... So what point? Make your point. What's being missed? What did this evil black man do to deserve getting shot in the back eight times?
He didn't do anything to deserve being shot in the back. But if you're going to tell everything that's truthful, whoever it may be, not you necessarily, but if someone... Well,
what is missing from the picture? He scuffled with the cop, therefore the cop had the right to shoot him in the back? You know, I don't believe that there's a single police department in the United States of America that permits you to shoot a fleeing suspect who is nonviolent in the back.
You're right, but he...
All right, so that's the end of the case. There's nothing more you need to know. It's that simple. Let's move on. That's all. I made my point. How many different times do I have to make the same point? So the supreme leader says America's a liar. And he said the other side is into lying and breaching promises. An example was the White House fact sheet. In other words, they're saying that Obama lied with the fact sheet. It's a complete crock of you-know-what. There is no preliminary deal. In fact, the Iranians say it's a complete construct by the golfer. A complete construct. And now they say, tell you what, we want all the sanctions lifted immediately once a final deal is reached. They insisted on it, which means that everything the United States told you is a complete lie. It's like Ted Kennedy, the drunk, in 1965 when he said, My Immigration Reform Act of 1965 will not change the demographics of America. Well, I mean, if you want to believe what a drunk from Massachusetts tells you, fine. It sure hasn't changed the demographics of America. And now Obama's getting around the law every which way he can. These are big topics. I want to go back now in time. It's a little long. Here's Savage's reaction. We have just enough time to the Aragona nun indictment in clip two. Let's hear it.
It's not good news for America nor for justice. The NYPD officer in Aragona chokehold death was not indicted by the Staten Island grand jury. I repeat, the NYPD officer who killed Aragona with a chokehold was not indicted by a Staten Island grand jury. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to stick to what I said earlier. If you don't know the story, I'll tell it to you again. You watch the video yourself. And you watch these thuggish cops taking down this black man and choking him to death, pressing his face against the concrete. And you tell me why, there was no indictment against this officer, Daniel Pantaleo. First of all, forget the white-black issue, although that's a big part of it. Pantaleo, in my opinion, is a common bar thug and a coward. If you watch the video, your heart will break for the victim, Aragona. Okay, he broke the law. And you know what the law was? He was selling unlicensed cigarettes. And he had a rap sheet of minor crimes. And that is a reason the father of six should die? Because this thuggish cop with a gun in a club has a right to say you're resisting arrest? You watch that video. They didn't go up to him and say you're under arrest, let us cuff you. No. Six of these punk thugs jumped on Aragona and choked him to death. You could watch Aragona, the black man, begging for his life as he is on the ground, and he died. What was Garner doing? He was not selling crack. He was not raping anyone. He was not murdering anyone. This guy was selling unlicensed cigarettes, known as Lucy's. They went up to him, and they said, come on now, you can't sell them, you're under arrest. So he basically didn't put his hands in a pair of cuffs. I'm sure he would have gotten into a car with them. But no, they had to take him down like he was an animal. They treated him like an animal. He choked the man to death. The man was screaming, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Well, another one of the punks with a badge and a club and a gun jumps in and starts to grind the black man's face into the pavement.
That was it. What can I tell you? I call him as I see him.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So we have two or three different topics. One is the fact that the leader of Iran is saying that Obama is a liar, that the deal is a lie, that we cheat on all of our deals, and that they're not going to go along with the so-called fact sheet because it's not what they agreed to. That's number one. And the president is golfing. That's all you need to know. He's golfing today. That's all. He did his job. He's on vacation. That's number one. And number two is the police shooting in South Carolina. There's no defending what happened. The cop was not fearful for his life. He shot him in the back. He was not only retreating, he was running away. See, let me put it this way. I have a concealed carry permit, which is very difficult to get. And I studied all the laws of owning a gun. Do you know how severe the punishment is for shooting somebody as a citizen? Do you know how many different things you have to consider before you can pull a gun and even take it out of your pocket? Now, a policeman is in a category of his own. He is licensed by the state to kill, but he has very severe restrictions upon that license to kill, as he should, or else we'd have the equivalent of ISIS in Syria, where they can go around shooting you for no reason. Now you have a case here that I know as a citizen that if I got into an altercation with someone and the man was running away from me and I shot him in the back, I'd be charged with homicide, as I should. Because I wasn't in fear of my life. There was a case in Marin County, California, not long ago, of a traffic light, a road rage incident. A guy trailed the other guy all the way home, two men in their early 70s. And a guy was retreating, he was running away, trying to get away from the lunatic that gave him the finger. All he did was actually pass the guy over at a stoplight. So the guy who's retreating drives to his garage, he's terrified, and the lunatic behind him not only pursues him to his house, but he crashes his Mercedes into the guy's garage door and threatens him and his wife So the guy in the garage pulls out a gun, fires two warning shots, which was his mistake, by the way, and then shoots the guy three times, and the guy lives. All right, so they threw the book at the guy who shot him. That case is all wrong because he was fearful for his life. The guy had invaded his home. Everything is wrong about this case. It's just a vicious, sick DA in Marin County, California. He's crazier than the cop shooter. This DA is worse than the cop. But nevertheless, there's an example. It specifically says the rules of engagement that you cannot discharge that firearm at another individual unless you are fearful for your life. You're telling me that this cop in South Carolina was afraid for his life when the guy was already, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away from him, and he shoots him like an animal in a wood? I mean, you look at the video, it's crazy how anyone could justify this. He was retreating, not retreating, he ran away. So he's calling and the guy, this looks like this. They could have caught him within 3 minutes, two other police cars. He hadn't raped anyone. Well, he committed a big crime, truthfully. The black guy committed a huge crime. He had a broken taillight. That justifies shooting him in the back, doesn't it? Are you crazy? Listen, being a cop is the toughest job in America. The toughest job. I don't know who could do it anymore with this psychopathic administration we have and with this race baiter, Eric Holder, and this psychopath loser, Al Sharpton, running across the land. I don't know who could do the job anymore. But that doesn't justify shooting a man in the back. That's how I see it. Okay? That's how I see it. Now, we could talk about this. And in the Garner case, he was the big guy. You got to watch the video, or else if you haven't seen the video, these two videos, please don't call the show. Jim, you got to ask the guys if they've seen the videos. Otherwise, I'm going to be talking in an esoteric manner about something they don't know. I watched both videos. In the Garner case, the black man was selling cigarettes. They choked him to death. He was begging for his life. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. My heart went out to him. It was like an animal being taken down. Sickening. And I looked at the cop, believe me, with the tattooed arms, the big reptile arms, the python arms, bar brawler. The type that would choke you to death in a bar if you looked at him the wrong way. Good, and we need tough guys in the police force. We do, but they need constraint. They need constraint. I love tough men who have loads of testosterone in the police department. I don't need sissies, and I don't need feminists who can't take down big men who commit real crimes. I like strong, tough cops who have the guts to take down a criminal. But no, it does not justify shooting a man in the back. Now, unfortunately, there's a race here. There is race here. WMAL Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Just talk about your, as you put it, the thuggish police and their overreach. I actually had a specific incident in my home when I was...
Wait. I didn't say the thuggish police like all police are thuggish. You're now generalizing. I said this thuggish cop and the thuggish cop in Staten Island. Let's not now generalize that.
No. I'm not generalizing. I'm being very specific. And that's kind of...
Oh, now you're going to tell us your sad story.
No, I don't want to break into it. I'm just saying that I'm a white guy, and it happened to me too. So what I've been watching in the media is...
Okay, but wait, who did it to you? White cops or black cops?
White cops.
All right, so it wasn't race based.
No, that's my point. And
yeah, but I think you're implying that this cop in South Carolina did not shoot the man in the back because of the race issue. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the media drumbeat is...
But wait, how do we know that?
Well, we...
And by the way, that's almost irrelevant. What's relevant is he broke the law. Now, all that's relevant is the cop broke the law. I don't believe any police department in America permits a policeman to shoot a suspect who had committed a nonviolent offense to shoot him in the back. I don't believe it's legal. I don't believe. Is there a policeman listening to the show who could tell me your department permits you to shoot a retreating suspect in the back who was, let's say, not stopped for a violent crime? It's a terribly difficult job. Terribly. Look, you know that this is a tough thing for me to do, but I had to do it. I waited a couple of days because, you know, it's easy to take the case that all cops are heroes or all cops are villains. I get it. Toughest job in the world. But this case is an open and shut case. I don't believe there's a cop listening to the show would disagree with me on that. Adam on WABC in New York. Go ahead, please.
And how are you? First of all, I want to thank you for supporting law enforcement. And I'm about to retire. And I'm happy that I'm retiring at the time that I am, because this incident in South Carolina is a travesty. It makes it really bad for law enforcement.
It's going to make it impossible for a policeman to do his job from here on forward.
And
just 2 weeks ago in New York City, in the Bronx, a cop was shot in the face, a white cop, by a black criminal, because the cops were so intimidated by de Blasio and Sharpton and Obama and Holder that they approached the car without their guns drawn. The criminal knew that, and he got the beat on him, and he shot him in the face. And that's a direct result of the criminal activity of these race baiters.
Well, I try not to look at color. When I put on my uniform, I'm blue. And I try to treat everyone with the respect that they deserve.
Well, let me, in the NYPD, is there a law that permits you to shoot a retreating suspect in the back?
Sir, I'm not a New York police officer, but I don't believe that there is a law supporting that.
No, I don't believe there's any law in any police department in America that says, yeah, if someone's retreating and running away and they have no weapon, you can shoot them in the back for a broken taillight. That's all. Adam, listen, stay on the line. I'm starting this week to give out copies of my forthcoming novel called, do you remember the name? I bet you didn't hear of it yet. Countdown to Mecca. And I'll tell you guys more about it later on as the week goes on. It's going to be a big, important book. It's all about Iran getting the bomb and what generals plot to do to stop them from getting the bomb. It's just on time. WABC, again in New York. Did I just have Adam? I don't know who I had on. Did I have Adam on? I don't even know. Okay. We have a lot of callers on the police incident. And I don't know why I'm getting overloaded with WABC. We need to move around with other. I love New York City, believe me. It's the favorite city I left 500 years ago, but I shouldn't have left. I should have bought the block I lived on. Real estate is insane, but it's true everywhere. The fact is, this is a big issue. It's actually a bigger issue than Iran. You know why? Because we can't really do anything about a crazy, weak president who's above the law. He thinks he's above the law. He was never qualified to be president. Don't you remember when that idiot McCain was running against him? McCain was going to win because at least we knew where McCain was born. We knew that McCain had some foreign policy experience, and we knew Obama had zero. We knew he was a very, very thin on his resume. And one of Obama's greatest weaknesses was foreign policy. It was his greatest flaw. And look what we got from him now. A deal at any cost with the dictators out of Iran that threatens the whole world's stability. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard for us to relate to that. What we can relate to is this video of the officer shooting this guy in the back. It's as simple as that. So I went backwards in time and I played one tape for you of my position on Eric Garner. If you remember that case in Staten Island, it was heartbreaking. Because you have to have compassion you have to have a human compassion to understand my position. This man was begging for his life. He was saying, I can't breathe. The six cops were on him. They looked like Lilliputians on top of a human being. You know, if you read Jonathan Swift, they were like Lilliputians doing everything they could to suppress and subdue this nonviolent man. And this poor man was begging for his life, saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. I can't. Now, every human instinct would say these idiots would have gotten, let him go at that point. Take your hand off his neck, you thug, you. They killed him, but they weren't indicted. Bad scene. Then we go back to Michael Brown. Totally different. Michael Brown was not a gentle giant. Michael Brown was a common thug, a criminal. If you watch that video, he beat up the Indian shopkeeper. I don't know why this never comes up. It's all about minorities. Well, he beat up another minority who was half his size. Do you remember that one? We didn't hear that from Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton. Minorities this, minority that. Michael Brown beat up an Indian shopkeeper who I think technically is considered a minority. The Indian shopkeeper was about 5'2". They stole cigars and candy. And after beating him up, the next thing that happened is they try to disarm the cop who was riding around. He heard about the incident. This guy matched the description, tried to pull him over. The guy tried to take his gun and shoot him. Officer Wilson was 1,000% justified. He was fighting for his life, period. Not the same case at all. I have to be Solomon-esque here. Now, let's listen to the Garner chokehold. Let's go back to the Garner case. Do we have that to play? Let's hear it.
Put your hand behind your back. I can't breathe. 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 I can't breathe.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I remember as a kid, I'd get caught in a, what do they call that, in those, I played the touch football. I was never a football player. It's not my sport. When you get piled on, Robert, what's that called when they all jump on you around the ground? Piling on. Piling on. Have you ever been underneath a pile of guys who jump on top of you in a game and you get terrified that you're going to die because you can't breathe? Do you know what that's like? Unless you've been piled upon, you don't know what it's like to be piled upon. Now, add to being piled upon having your neck in a chokehold and you're having your neck broken. That's all. 855-407-282. It's a very tough set of circumstances here, and they're all different. See, what I'm trying to do for the audience is show you that each situation is different. They're not all the same. You can't approach police incidents with a cookie-cutter approach. Michael Brown, one case. Eric Garner, another case. South Carolina shooting, yet another case. They're all different. And I think it's worth talking about. Then we have the strange case of Harry Reid maintaining an elastic exercise band caused his extensive injuries, even though people are implying something else happened. And I never believed it was an elastic exercise band. I tried to reconstruct it. It's impossible to believe. We'll play that tape the minute we come back in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back. We have two topics on the table, enriched uranium, Iran, and the police shooting in South Carolina. Now, I want to go back to the enriched uranium for 1 minute with Iran for a number of very important reasons to me. In my new novel, Countdown to Mecca, it's all about Iran getting a nuclear weapon and getting enriched uranium. And in one of the scenes in Countdown to Mecca, they go and visit a new character I invented, a crazy physicist who lives near a beach. And his name is, doesn't matter. He's tall, angular, lithe, with a hooked nose, a widow's peak of steely hair, and gray eyes that glittered like isotopes. He also wore sandals, monk's pants, and an open kimono. You get it, right? He lives in the San Francisco area. But he knows everything that's going on. He worked on the weaponization of nuclear weapons long before anyone else did. Peter's made his bones on the team that adapted the W-53 Titan II warhead from the B-53 air-to-ground bomb. The two-stage thermonuclear weapon tipped American ICBMs well into the 1980s, ranking it as one of the most seminal and long-lasting nuclear designs ever. And this is from page 59. What I'm trying to demonstrate to you is, this is not a glib story I'm telling you. I know a lot more than I let on about the topics that I discuss, especially this issue of uranium. You may think I'm just shooting my mouth off, but I'm just putting in a novel things you may not have heard. And so another paragraph, Countdown to Mecca, page 61, for those of you who like thrillers that are factual. And here's what the man tells Doc when they're speaking next to a pounding surf so they can't be listened to. An array of companies has helped Iran, though this wasn't always good for Iran. The Stuxnet virus, a worm in its Western-supplied centrifuges, being the most obvious example. As Professor Peters continued, Jack Hatfield was impressed to find how wide a range of items might help a WMD program, from tiny nano switches to a gas used in runway lights. Even when the original manufacturers of a product had not intended to cooperate with Iran, there were plenty of middlemen willing to step in. Peter said it's a complete failure of morality. But morality is not to be expected in the modern age with the collapse of traditional religious doctrine and the family unit. Amen to that, Doc said. Jack remembered that line from Revelation 16:16. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The place did not matter as much as the idea. A confluence of events, people, and materiel that would define the new Armageddon. I'm reading from my forthcoming novel, Countdown to Mecca. I'll be back to discuss uranium, Iran, and the police shooting right here in the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here we are in hour two of 2015 on The Savage Nation, and we're talking about the liar in the White House who was found on a golf course today with a 9-iron. And when confronted by the fact that Iran is openly mocking him, calling him a liar, not him exactly, just the U.S. See, he represents the U.S., so if they say the U.S. lies, who do you think they're talking about? Your president. They're mocking him. The supreme leader said that the U.S. can't be trusted, and the fact sheet that your golfer put out is a complete fraud. So now they catch him on the golf course today and be treated. He put the press corps in a shed. The U.S. press, which once existed, is now banished to a golf course shed so he can conduct private business with his buddies on the golf course. And they catch him, and he says something, which we'll play for you in this hour. Topic number two, Hillary Clinton. Is she finished as a candidate before she started? A lot is saying yes. Many Democrats say she's finished. That U.N. press conference where she said that we need to be put into fun camps, that really went over very well with the world. Whoever wrote that must have been Marie Hoff's half-sister, half-wit, half-sister. Fun camps, adult fun camps. Someone came up with that to cover up the cover-up. You know, the missing 20,000 missing emails. I mean, that's affecting her. Even the welfare recipients of America are saying, I can't believe she would erase 20,000 emails and expect us to trust her. What, because she's a woman? She's good? What is wrong with you people? Where is it written, because a person's a woman, she's good? I don't understand this. And that is another question. Another question for this hour that I'm going to introduce, because two questions or three aren't enough for me. We'll go back to the ones from hour one, is the California drought, which is so bad. I mean, I saw pictures today of the Truckee River. It's stone. There's rocks when there should be a raging river right now. And Jerry Brown's introducing water rationing. He's right, by the way. You have to. Say, I goofed on it the other day. But the fact is you need rationing. I watch myself when I brush my teeth now. I shut the water off during the brushing. I mean, I went through a drought in New York in the 50s. I was a little kid. They didn't say the world was coming to an end. I knew there was a cycle. They had a drought, so they told you to watch every drop you spent. They didn't turn it into global warming and try to peddle you a bill of goods. So you cut back on water usage, and we came out of the drought. The next year was like a deluge. It rained for 6 months in a row. As will happen here, boys and girls who are from out of state who never lived in California. All of the people who moved here from Cleveland to be wild and free. This is known as a Mediterranean climate, boys and girls. And in a Mediterranean climate, what you have are periods of drought and periods of a lot of water. And right now we have a period of drought. It's the same with cycles of real estate. 7 years up, 7 years flat or down. You didn't know that either. Always a cycle. But nevertheless, you can't teach that to the Marie Harfs of the world, the State Department spokesgirl. Because they only know what the present is. It's a lifetime of Adderall, Ritalin, and bad diet. It's a combination of bad diet, bad genes, and bad drugs. Produce what we have in the White House now. Write it down. Send it on to someone if you don't like it. Bad genes, bad diet, and bad drugs produce what we have in the White House in the form of the spokesmouths. And we have the police shooting incident. Though Harry Reid maintaining an elastic exercise band causes extensive injuries. It didn't look like it to me. I mean, I've had weights fall on me. Usually hurt a foot. He said that a rubber band snapped and threw him across the room. An eye, a rib, this, an arm. I don't, come on. And now he retired after a terrible story. No one's joking about it. But we're going to go back to the cop story because I made it an issue and I have to live with it now. And I said that there's a tale of three cities here. And they're all different. We have the recent one, South Carolina. The guy's running away, shot in the back 8 times. That's one case. We had New York City, another city, Arizona, the gentle giant choked to death saying, I can't breathe. I said the cops committed homicide. A lot of you didn't agree with me. Then we had the Ferguson case, a complete product of Al Sharpton, Eric Holder, Barack Obama, and the other race haters. Michael Brown was a common street thug, beat up another minority, a little Indian, threw him around the floor like a rag doll, the store like a rag doll after robbing him of cigars. And then Officer Wilson was defending his life because this thug tried to take his gun and kill him. All different cases. And we want to talk about that. Then we had the State Department spokesmouth, Marie Hoff, who is now a laugh line around the world, saying that the article on Iran, written by Kissinger and Schultz, two secretaries of state, by the way, is just sort of big words, a lot of big words and big thoughts. And we have a place for that, but they really don't matter because we're much smarter than them. That's what you get now from bad genes, bad diet, and bad drugs, in my opinion. I don't know that she actually used drugs as a child. But to me, in generic, when you hear a girl like this in such a high place, it's bad genes, bad diet, and bad drugs. That's all. And I rest my case. So now let's go on to all the calls. And most of you are only calling about the cop shooting, which I can understand. But in order to set this up right, I don't have any of the shooting. You have to watch it. But let's go to the callers, okay? WBOB in Jacksonville, I believe. Ed, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're on the air with me and millions of others. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Yeah, I was wondering, you know, I viewed the shooting in South Carolina. That definitely was murder. But, you know, I'm thinking about Obama and Holder. They're so intent in getting the guns out of the hands of the American people. I mean, yeah, they're saying it's all race-motivated, but you know, there's like, look at what this hand is doing. Don't look at this hand, you know, which they really want to do is get the guns out of the hands of the American public. What do you think?
Well, I think they also want to disarm the police. In fact, the street thug, Al Sharpton, one of the most vile human beings to have ever, ever entered the political stage, a man who in my time would have been arrested for the crimes he's committed, in my estimation, instead of in and out of the White House 50 times to see how they can conspire to stir up the masses in a riot in the country, in my estimation. Al Sharpton, the other day, right after the mockery of Christians at the prayer breakfast, gave a press conference where this lowlife had the nerve to say that we need a federal police force, no more local police forces, along the lines of seizing the guns not only of the citizens but of the police. There's a movement amongst the crazies to disarm our police in America. Did you know that?
No, I didn't realize that, no.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to pass with a Republican-controlled Congress, but that's what they want. They, you know, the French police have no weapons. You know that. That's why the Islamists were able to shoot them in the street like rabbits. When you saw the French police with machine guns, they're a member of the federal police force. Local police in France have no guns. They throw camembert cheese at the Islamists. That's what they do. If they get in their way, they use rotten camembert cheese to stop them. Thank you for the call. Let's see what else is WABC. Tim, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm a New York City firefighter, and I totally agree with you 100% on the South Carolina shooting. It's ugly from the start. You know, they fired him, and he's going to get a thing for it. He's going to wait for a long time. I tend to disagree with you strongly on the Staten Island case with Michael Pantaleo. You know what? Commissioner Kelly, before he had his foot out the door, said, listen, we can't litigate the streets. When a police officer, no matter where you work, tells you to put your hands up, put your hands behind your back, you have to simply respect the cops and you have to follow the law. Okay.
Well, let's pause right there. That's basically true, but what was the crime Eric Garner was accused of committing?
Well, it was a quality of life crime, and if you remember.
Well, no. Let's say on the radio, it's a national show. It's picked up around the world. What crime was Eric Garner accused of committing? He was selling loose cigarettes on the street. Did he have a weapon with him?
Doesn't matter if he had a weapon.
No, don't tell me it doesn't matter. Let the punishment fit the crime.
Well, before you said, you know what?
Well, I think that police procedures need to be reviewed then. If you're going to give a blanket approach in all cases, then we have a problem. Now, we do have a problem. Let's say a woman argues with a cop in a doorway over something. What, they should throw her to the ground and break her neck?
No, but you know what? Cop said, put your hands behind your back. He didn't want to comply. There wasn't.
Did he have a weapon? Did Eric Garner have a weapon?
At that point, If you watch the video, they never frisked him because he didn't even give him a
chance. No, he had no weapon. And when he was on the ground saying, "I can't breathe," what did they do to him? Did they release him and think maybe they had overreacted?
You know what? I don't think...
Why didn't they let him up when he was saying, "I can't breathe"?
You would arrive at the New York City police officer in one of the toughest precincts to be the Brooklyn.
I didn't say that it's an easy job. I didn't say that. And I also, at the time, by the way, said that their sergeant who was watching it hiding in a doorway, who happens to be a black female promoted for that reason, for those reasons, she should have been thrown out of her job, by the way, for permitting this to go on. She should have stepped in with a whistle and stopped it. She is the real culprit here.
She hurt my arm. Now, you said put him in the back.
I can't hear you. Your cell phone's not working. I'm sorry. But let's go back to the Eric Garner case. Selling cigarettes, they jump on him. Pantoliano almost breaks his neck with the python, tattooed python arms. Takes him down. Then the other six cowards jump on him. And as he's down, they press his face into the pavement. And the guy is saying what, Robert? Play it.
Put your hand behind your back. I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
All right, that's all. If you have no compassion for that man saying I can't breathe, then you're not a human being. Then you're just repeating the doxy, all cops good, all others bad. It doesn't work that way. Ask anyone in the police business what a tough job it is. I don't know who takes the job, by the way. It's the toughest job in the world. You're risking your life every day. You don't know exactly what the rules of engagement are. We're filled with a nation full of violent, psychopathic drug addicts. You've got a psychopathic administration that hates the police, especially white police. Terribly difficult job, I get it. But you have to look at each case individually. This one in South Carolina, I think we all agree, was a miscarriage of justice, in plain English. Shot him in the back. How could anyone support that one? How is that possible? WJR in Detroit. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, good afternoon, Michael. Listen, I agree wholeheartedly with Michael Brown. We won't revisit that. I want to touch on the most recent, but Michael, I'm sorry, Eric Garner, I 50% agree with you, and halfway I don't. But I agree with you on being in those situations myself. The technique used should not be a chokehold, but we are taught to take somebody down like that if we have to. However, once he's down, he's yelling, "I can't breathe." They should have taken a step back and said...
Wait, hold it. That's an important point. That's where the sergeant who was running this crew, standing in a doorway, hiding in a doorway, a black female officer, a sergeant, promoted for affirmative action reasons, she should have been indicted for this.
Now, they all should have tried to stop it when he said he couldn't breathe. Up to that point, though. Things happen. You're trying to use a controlled technique to take him down. Arms slip, arms move. Okay, if that happened, admit...
The guy was a giant. He had enormous arms. You can't even use regular handcuffs on him, I was told. Did you know you had to use leg irons on the man's wrists? They were so big?
We've used belts, anything, so we don't pull the arms out of their sockets, but we try to do it as comfortable as we can, but we got to do what we got to do. But
why has police work become so violent? It wasn't always like this. In other words, there was judgment in the past. If it was a small woman or a small man on a domestic dispute with no weapons, the cops never ground their face into the ground to put him in a police car. What's happened to this country?
Michael, you just didn't see it. Now we have video. Now we have technology. We just didn't see it. Now it's coming out. Now you see it, okay? Now, if I could go to the most recent, which turned my stomach. Almost 29-year veteran. I've been in shootings myself. This literally turned my... This was murder. This was not...
Wait, we're talking now about the South Carolina homicide by the cop.
South Carolina, yes.
I agree, and I know people who were 1,000% police-oriented. They all said their stomach turned from it.
Okay.
He was shooting him like he was an animal. He was shooting him like you'd shoot a deer running away from you in the woods.
It's worse. It's worse, Michael. When we're taught to shoot at the range, we take what's called a blade stance or a 7.2. He made no attempt to try and go after him. He took a shooting range qualification course stance. When I saw that, I thought, oh, my God.
In other words, he lined them up in a triangular position and just took shots at him. But I want to ask you something as an officer. Isn't there a rule that says you can't shoot a retreating suspect if he is nonviolent suspect?
nonviolent? Absolutely not. Only if he's pummeled you and you feel you're going to die, or...
Okay, but there was no threat to the cop at that point.
There was no threat from what we could see.
All the cops should have done was call backup, and they could have caught him two blocks away. All right, well, and you're an officer. Let me send you a free copy of my forthcoming novel, The Minute They're Ready, A Countdown to Mecca. Please stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. At the end of the day, it's about a rogue cop who made a terrible, terrible mistake, committed homicide. Now, of course, the race haters coming down from the top down will make it into a racial issue. And there's a couple of reasons. It's how they got where they are. It's how they maintain their power. And it's how they appeal to the white liberal who is guilty. I want to go back in time for you right after the election. I have probably the best research department in the radio business, meaning me, because I come from an academic background as a science person. And I pulled some papers for you. It's from the 7th of November 2014, the day after the election that we had. Remember, we had an election before Obama nullified the election by giving us the middle finger and saying, drop dead, I'll do what I want. Well, there were reports all over the media why GOP won, shifting white votes hurt Democrats. Did you hear this? Did you know there was an election? You wouldn't know that. Did you know what happened in the election? 64% of white men voted for Republicans, which was the widest GOP advantage in this group in data since 1984, according to ABC News. You know why it happened? Because the race narrative didn't work. The war on women narrative no longer worked for the Democrats. The war on minorities didn't work for Democrats. And this case in South Carolina now sets that back. Don't you get it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
...that I've been using for about 4 years, and it's, I was, you know, trying to maintain my firmness, and that was my weight training. Doing that in my new home here in Nevada, and a big metal hook that came out from the wall, that was hooked there, that the strap had no handle on it, slipped, spun me around about, oh, I guess 4 feet, and so I smashed my face into a cabinet so hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish him the best in his recovery. But you would think that a man of that status, there would have been a FBI investigation of this case. I'm sure if it was a Republican who maintains an elastic exercise band did this to him, there would have been an investigation by the FBI to make sure that there was no untoward events. But what can I say? It's different strokes for different folks. And now we're going to go back to the horrible situations of the police issues. And we're in a place where we need to be in this country. Finally, white men have awakened to the fact that they're targeted. Finally, white men have awakened to the fact that a minority is not necessarily a fair person or a better person than you. They could be. They could also be worse than you. In other words, if you read Bertrand Russell's great essay from 1952 entitled The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed, you'd understand what I'm talking about. And he was a socialist as they come. But he saw the game. Remember then, many of you never read it, but The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed was an eye-opener for me by Bertrand Russell. The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed, it was a sarcastic statement. And it implied that there is no superior virtue of the oppressed. You know, there are all sorts of people in all sorts of races. And as you can see with Obama, that theorem holds up. Does he have superior virtue because he's a minority? Of course not. In fact, he is inferior virtue by every estimation, every estimate. So the people caught on to him. They saw that they were hoodwinked. And 64% of white men voted for Republicans in the last election, which was the widest GOP advantage in data since 1984. Shifting white votes hurt Democrats was the screaming headline. Okay? Democrats won the backing of 89% of African Americans and 62% of Hispanics. That's interesting because they were nearly identical margins to the 2010 midterm elections. So there's been two elections in a row, where white voters have finally moved away from being hoodwinked on this issue of, you know, racial, let us say, sensitivity. Now you have the shooting in South Carolina, which is going to open the whole wound up again. So if you want to continue to talk about it, we have new evidence here about the case in South Carolina that I don't think many of you know about. There was a struggle. The officer did try to use a taser on this guy. But there's absolutely no evidence that the man who was shot in the back at any time grabbed the taser and tried to use it on the officer, according to eyewitnesses. There is apparently no evidence of that having happened. And then we see the poor guy running away and getting shot in the back eight times. Well, actually, the cop took eight shots and hit him once. If you watch the video, it's frightening. The man's running for his life, and this cop shoots one, two, three, four, five, six, seven times and misses. And the eighth shot kills him. So the evidence doesn't match the cop's story. It's a sad case all around. There's a dead man whose crime was a broken taillight. See, this could be you tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You get a rogue cop like this, it could be you. People react under adrenaline in different ways than you might imagine. Cop reacted wrongly. The guy actually reacted properly, ran away because he knew he was going to be killed. He sensed it. I mean, his animal instincts kicked in. He ran away. All the cop had to do was call that we had a suspect, we had a struggle, used a taser on him, it didn't stop him. He's running away. We need to catch him on the corner of 2nd and Habersham. He's running north on Habersham. Catch him on 3rd and Habersham. They would have got the guy in 3-4 minutes. Police dogs, helicopters, it would have been a close case. Resisting arrest, assaulted on an officer, all would have been in there. But the guy wouldn't be dead. We wouldn't be talking about it. Mistakes are made, and when mistakes are made, there are punishments, crime and punishment. You know that in your own business. The only one who's above the law is Obama. He makes mistakes every day. Deal with Iran, one of the biggest mistakes in history. Goes golfing, and then the spokesmouths cover up for him, and so does the newspaper. Newspapers cover up for him. You know, I mean, the biggest shame of this all is this guy Friedman from the New York Times, Thomas Friedman. Does the man not understand what a prostitute looks like? He may as well put on a red dress and fingernail polish for the kind of interview he gave Obama at the New York Times. He just ought to get a red dress and put on fingernail polish for what he did. It's an embarrassment. I mean, there is a word called prostitute in the English language. We know what it means. It doesn't always refer to a person selling their body. It's sometimes referred to people selling their integrity. Of course, when you have no integrity, it's a moot point because you can't sell what you don't have. So in that sense, it kind of nullifies my argument. It's an interesting story. What would you like to talk about? KKAT, Chris, what's on your mind? That's an interesting statement you're making. I don't quite follow it. What would you like to say?
Doctor, there's a case that's about 15 years old that somewhere on the East Coast, a police officer took the entrance exam. The entrance exam deemed he had an IQ of roughly, I think it was 126. He was not hired because of his high IQ. He sued saying, you can't discriminate against me because of my high IQ. Whatever the state, whichever state it was, the Supreme Court upheld his non-hiring and said, yes, they could discriminate. And the justification was that a person with that level would become bored on the job.
Well, hold on. That's an interesting case. I'm not aware of it. But the reverse happens to be true today. I know some very high IQ people who are policemen.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm not at all implying it.
I know a lot of people, by the way, who went into other professions and then became policemen. Some were lawyers, engineers. There's an awful big trend, by the way, into this field from very intelligent people. By very intelligent people. They're not all, you know, what you're trying to paint them as, kind of dummies.
No. I didn't mean to paint them as dummies at all. All I was trying to say is there is a screening process, and that is an allowable criteria.
I accept what you're saying, and I'm sure it's a valid case. I'm just saying let's not assume that, you know, only people of low intelligence go in the, you know, I heard the same thing about the military, that smear by the liberals, that only people go in the military can't get any other job and they're stupid. I've heard that. That was argued a few years ago by a few out there before it became fashionable to defend and make believe that they're pro-military. That's all the fashion now in America. Yeah, everyone's pro-military. Okay, I want to go to WABC in New York. Patrick has a good point to make. Welcome to the program, Patrick. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Michael. I'm going to get right to the point. You asked before if it is allowable for any police officer or any police department. Remember, there's about 21,000 different law enforcement agencies in the United States of America and about 650,000 police officers. Do any of these departments allow somebody to shoot, say, let's, for sake of this argument, thinking critically, a fleeing felon in the back if that person poses no threat to the officer or somebody else? And the answer is no, nobody's allowed to do it, because there was a Supreme Court case of Tennessee versus Garner, and when that was won, it was actually against the statute in place at the time in Tennessee that a police officer could use deadly physical force to apprehend a fleeing felon. And after Garner was jumping over a fence after a burglary, was told to stop. He did not stop. He was shot and killed. He was unarmed. So the Supreme Court stated that it is not constitutionally reasonable to use deadly physical force in such a fashion.
Well, that was my allegation from the beginning. Not being an attorney, not knowing case law, my intuition told me there wouldn't be a single police department in the country that would permit a cop to shoot a fleeing suspect who was nonviolent and had no weapon. Now you're saying it goes beyond that. They're not even allowed to shoot a fleeing felon in the back.
Well, it could be a fleeing felon. It most certainly can be. But if a person is fleeing and they do not pose any threat to the officer, a third person, or anything, just simply to use it to apprehend, you know, that's not legal. And once that case,
Patrick, you must be an attorney, I would assume.
I most certainly am not. Let's just say that I work for a major metropolitan police department in Lower New York.
Okay, but you certainly know your data. 21,000 jurisdictions of police departments and 85,000 local police. Is that the number you gave?
No, there is actually approximately 650,000 police officers in the United States of America.
650, I didn't know the number. And how many different local police departments are there?
If we look at law enforcement entities as a whole, because there's more than just the municipal police departments, it's approximately 21,000 different law enforcement agencies.
Okay, but your main point is that, truthfully, my intuition was you can't shoot a fleeing suspect in the back.
Tennessee versus Garner is one of the landmark cases in regards to the use of force.
All right. Well, we all agree this was a miscarriage of justice. My instincts as a human being were clear on this. The cop committed homicide. He was hunting and shooting him like an animal. I mean, I watch the shots going off. You sit there cringing, saying, no, this can't be happening in front of my eyes in the year 2015. It's impossible to believe. And then to add insult to injury, the cop comes up with a black object and throws it next to his body, right out of a movie of planting a gun on a suspect after they shoot him.
Every police officer that I know.
I mean, how many movies have we seen where a cop carries an extra gun, an unmarked gun, in his sock, right? And they throw it on the guy they just shot by accident? We got to watch out here. It's a terrible job. It's the hardest job in the world, being a cop in this age of violence, drugs, and rampant guns. I don't know how anyone does it. I mean, you're asking a guy on the street to do two things at once or 10 things at once. He's got to be a nursery school teacher, a psychologist, a politician, and also a martial artist. I don't know how anyone could do it.
I've done it for 23 years. My father is stuck with it for 37.
Okay, so as a lifer, so to speak, what did you see when you watched that video?
I saw pretty much what everyone else saw. So Joel went slack. Not only did we see, you know, viewing again the view, one view from one angle, pretty much seems, you know, pretty clear, and everyone said, not only were we in shock of what we were viewing, we just all thought, oh no, here we go again. It's not even one step forward, two steps back. It's a half step forward and five steps back.
The first thing that entered my mind was, oh my God, look at this poor guy. The second thing was, has Al Sharpton fired up the jet yet? Where is Eric Holder? Why is he not marched already and locked arms already with the whole pack of them with the marching song? Where are they?
I would not be surprised if there was, regardless of what happens in the state of South Carolina, I would not be surprised at all if a federal case is brought.
Well, there should be a federal case, but the guy is guilty. Now, tell me if you agree or disagree with me on this, the case of Eric Garner in Staten Island. My position is it was homicide. You disagree, probably.
Well, knowing an awful lot about the case and knowing that the case is actually still ongoing, we're going to have to agree to disagree, but I think it would be improper for me to make any comments.
Fair enough. But my humanity kicked in when I saw the man begging for his life, saying, "I can't breathe." I would think at that point the sergeant steps in, the one who was hiding in the doorway, and blows a whistle and says, "Let him go. So he's going to die." She did nothing, didn't she?
I was not there.
Well, I watched the video, and you could see her in the doorway hiding. The wonderful sergeant they put in there. Let me send you a copy of Countdown to Mecca, which will be out in a few weeks. Stay on the line. I hope that Jim's grabbing all these addresses. It is now 47 minutes after the hour. We come back. The second we come back, we have a soundbite that was done. It's very fresh, of the president responding on the golf links to Iran calling him a liar. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Wagwan, Jamaica. It is great to be in beautiful Jamaica.
I bet it is.
Not only because I'm proud to be the first president of the United States to visit in more than 30 years.
Well, you got the leisure.
But because I just like the vibe here.
You know, maybe he could stay there? You think he might want to stay there and consider running as the prime minister of Jamaica? That way he wouldn't have any foreign policy considerations. This is the same president who was mocked today by the supreme leader of Iran, who said that the fact sheet that he gave us is a complete fabrication. It doesn't match what they agreed to in a fact sheet. And that America always lies. So in the next clip, you'll hear your golfer answer that, let us say, suggestion. Let's hear it.
We also want to make sure that our allies in the region have confidence that they're not going to be threatened by the looming cloud of a nuclear Iran. And we're going to make sure that that happens, hopefully through diplomatic means.
In other words, what you'd expect from him. No answer. A double talk. That's all. Next case. Let's move it on. Nothing to see here. The same Obama we're used to. Iran said today that it's a complete fabrication. And all sanctions must be lifted the same day as the nuclear deal, which is the opposite of the fact sheet we were given by John Ketchup Kerry and Barack the golfer Obama. They said that they can't trust America and they didn't agree to any of this. And that's the supreme leader of Iran. And the answer to that by the president is no answer. He's like Marie Harf. Same kind of answer. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America has been my slogan on the Savage Nation for a while. And I have another big hour to give you 15 minutes in a fourfold way. I know many of you leave the show after 2 hours. I'm actively lobbying the company to expand my show to my third hour because I do a third hour. Many of you are now switching to the internet to get my third hour. I'm known as a man with several Eveready batteries in my head. And that's it. I keep going like the Eveready guy. I keep on banging that drum. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Countdown to Mecca on Amazon. It'll be out in a few weeks. It is so on time. It's about Iran, the bomb, and a fictional story. Thanks for listening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Wagwan, Jamaica. It is great to be in beautiful Jamaica.
It is.
Not only because I'm proud to be the first president of the United States to visit in more than 30 years.
Well, you got the leisure.
But because I just like the vibe here.
Right. Well, you know, it's nice. It makes me feel good as an American to pay such exorbitant taxes to know that he's happy. The main thing is to keep him and his family happy, isn't it? Isn't that the whole purpose? Is to keep the government well-fed and happy. Iran today said the new nuclear deal that he's vacationing on. Now that he signed a deal, fire up the jet, get Air Force One ready. We got the deal all done. Now let's go on a junket to Jamaica now so I can slap the Castro brothers on the back next and give Americans the finger now, the Hispanic population, and tell the old Cubans to drop dead. Now let me do that too. Let me see. I alienated the Jews. I alienated the white people with the police thing. Let's see, who else are these right-wingers I hate? Oh, the Cubans, the ones who hate Castro. Let me go to Cuba and salute the Castro brothers and make the Cubans hate me. Let me see what else I can do to make people completely crazy altogether. So he's flying off because he signed a nuke deal. He's got an agreement. And we wake up and the chief guy in Iran says, no nuke deal, it's not acceptable. Over. Framework collapses days after historic announcement. This is probably the biggest story of your life. That a president trumpets something that's false and gets away with it and goes to Jamaica on a vacation, to give it a little context. And no one calls him back and says, Mr. President, we have a disaster on our hands here. The deal you sold has just collapsed. Iran's saying you're full of it and there's no deal. Nothing. Jamaica. Love Jamaica and a nice golf course. Come on. Yum. Everyone loves Jamaica. Iran has described an agreement to curb its nuclear program as not acceptable days after the U.S. hailed a new framework of deal. Following the announcement, I'm reading Adam Credo's article in Free Beacon. The disagreement revolves around a White House fact sheet. In other words, in this case, it's a lie sheet. The White House put out a lie sheet that outlined concessions Tehran allegedly agreed to after so-called negotiations in Lausanne, Switzerland. On Wednesday, Iran rejected most of the concessions it reportedly agreed to undertake. Now, we don't know whether they actually agreed to them just to get the Schmendrix to sign something with them and then say, oh, no, you got it all wrong. Or they never agreed to it and they were lying to us on our side. But top Iranian leaders are describing the framework as a lie. L-I-E. Plain and simple. Even Marie Harf of the State Department knows what a lie is, since that's what she trades in. And announced that international nuclear inspectors will not be permitted to enter any of its contested military sites. Iran also says that all of the Islamic Republic's controversial nuclear work will continue under any deal, a claim that runs opposite to White House claims. Here's what he said. The U.S. fact sheet is a U.S. version and is not acceptable to Iran. In a Persian language interview with the country's state-controlled media translated by the CIA's Open Source Center. So everything Obama told you about the Iran deal is exactly what he told you about Obamacare. You'll know what's in it after I sign it. It was all a lie. A pack of lies. In a legitimate government? In a legitimate government falls for a thing like this. And if this happened in England, where there's a parliamentary system, and Cameron came back saying, I have an agreement from Herr Iran, which says that we have a framework deal that's going to work. The next day we find out that it wasn't true, the government, they hold new elections, the government falls. Cameron becomes a dog catcher. Or a lobbyist, whichever is more available. But in America, they go to Jamaica on another vacation, and they sell us another bill of fake goods about how all immigrants come here to work, how America is a land of immigration, how this is no different, how all of the illiterates coming in across the border are just like Einstein and Teller. They're the same exact people. Everything is a lie. Virtually everything is a lie and a charade. So what else is new? Nothing. But you only want to talk about the fact that the shootings, the Michael Brown shooting, the Aragona shooting, and now the shooting in South Carolina. I've given you my position on it already. Many of you held for 2 hours to talk about that. But before I take your calls, in the first hour, I replayed for you my savage reaction to Aragona, where I said it was murder, homicide, in my opinion. That's the poor guy in Staten Island, unarmed, selling cigarettes, and the thugs choke him to death almost. And he says, I can't breathe. To me, it broke my heart, and I said, wrong. They should have stopped when he said, I can't breathe. Or the sergeant there, the female black sergeant in the doorway, should be indicted for this because she was in charge, not the guys doing the choking. That was my position. I replayed it to show you I'm consistent. But on the Michael Brown case, it's the opposite. He was a thug, beat up the Indian shopkeeper, robbed him of cigars, robbed candy, fought with Officer Wilson, tried to get his gun and tried to shoot the officer. Michael Brown got what he deserved, in my opinion. So I want to play for you Savage reaction to the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson, so I'm on record with you, and you don't assume that I'm anti-police or pro-police like a knee-jerker. Clip one.
Now, the narrative begins with an innocent black youth coming back from studies where he was going to be the next Albert Einstein, no doubt, in the university, studying in a lab, and walking down the street peacefully when an evil Ku Klux Klan officer dressed in his police uniform comes up and tells him to stop, and the poor innocent young man, with his mind on the heavens and his future as a medical doctor, perhaps even a, I would think, a surgeon, God only knows, is stunned by the officer's commands. And he puts his hands up, and the Ku Klux Klan officer in a police uniform guns him down in cold blood. That's what Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all a bunch of them would have you believe. That's the narrative. But let's have the real narrative. You can see it on videotape. See a little Indian shopkeeper, an immigrant, who wasn't on welfare, not sitting around in his fat behind doing nothing his whole life. He came over from India and saved his money and opened a little grocery store in the neighborhood. And this group of bums comes in and roughs him up, throws him around like a rag doll, steals cigars or whatever else, and walks out. The guy calls 911. Have you heard that anywhere? Did you know there was a 911 bulletin out for someone who looked like Michael Brown? So the cop is now driving around. And the cop, Wilson, tells the grand jury, he sees Brown and a friend, Dorian Johnson, walking in the street. Police officer said he told them to move to the sidewalk, which drew a curse from Brown. Then Wilson noticed that Brown had a handful of cigars, quote, and that's when it clicked for him that the men were suspects in a theft at a convenience store reported just minutes earlier. So the cop, Wilson, calls for backup before maneuvering his vehicle in front of Brown and his friend. Wilson, who was much smaller than the 6'4", 290-pound Brown, are you ready? Says he was in fear for his life as Brown slammed his squad car door on him and pummeled him through the window, punched him in the face through the window. A few minutes after Wilson confronted him walking in the middle of the street. He said he felt like a five-year-old holding on to Hulk Hogan. Now, let's pause right there. You've got a lot of fools in the media saying, well, he's 6'2" and he's 220 pounds. Mr. Brown was only 6'4" and 290 pounds. See, I'm a fan of boxing. If a man is 5 pounds heavier than the other man, he is usually in a different weight class. Now, you think 290 and 240 is the same, then you know nothing about physicality. And I'll tell you something else that most of you idiots don't know. If you put a head against the hard surface, you can kill the man. You know what that means? Take a fist, take a head, and find a hard surface, and you can kill that person. Do you understand what the officer was facing? He was facing homicide by Brown. He was getting punched in his own car. He was going to be killed. This guy was going to rip his gun out of his hand and shoot him. So what would you have heard? Let's run the clock back now. Let's say this guy, Brown, would have wrestled the gun away from Officer Wilson and turned it on him and shot him in the car. And then Wilson would have run away, high-fived his friends, probably hiding in the projects. And there'd be a call about a cop shot and killed in Ferguson. Would you be hearing about that today? Would there have been marches? Would our attorney general have looked into investigating those in the housing projects who executed the white police officer? Would Barack Obama have taken time out from his golf lessons to have given a little speech about whatever he wanted to say? No, it would have been another statistic, another dead cop. That's what you would have had. And remember who they are, and I'll say it again. They're the thin blue line. They are, despite the rotten apples who exist in all walks of life, the cops are the wolfhounds. And the streets and the cities are filled with wolves. And if we don't have the wolfhounds in the thin blue line, the wolves will be coming for you. They'll be punching you in your car, ripping you out of your car, and stealing you out of your own car, raping your wife, and robbing you blind. And the only thing that keeps the wolves away are the wolfhounds, who the vermin in the media seem to hate.
That was then. This is now. It just shows you I'm consistent. And I call him as I see him. Michael Brown, one case. Aragona, another case. South Carolina, another case. Please don't stereotype Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIM.
All right, this is the biggest news of your life. A president was seen for what he is, Pinocchio. He now wants you, the idiot in America and the world, to salute the deal signed by John Ketchup Kerry that, according to the Iranians, does not permit full inspections, provides sanctions relief based on Iranian promises, not on what they will actually do, does not eliminate Iran's path to a bomb, does not eliminate plutonium production. There's no there. It was a complete invention by the phony in the White House and the bigger phony called John Kerry, Mr. Silver Star, that threw it over the fence, the swift boater. John Kerry swift boated America with this deal. Write it down. Someone will use it tomorrow. So they ask Obama at a golf course today. They caught him in between the shots since he's very busy on the way to Jamaica and here and there to have fun. After all, he got a deal done. He's running a war in the Middle East that we're losing. Yeah, he needs a vacation. He earned it. The missus was away on another junket. I think she was in China or Japan. I don't know where she was. God bless her. She's entitled. She works very hard, too. I mean, firing florists takes a lot of mental energy. If they don't do flowers right, you got to get rid of them. But nevertheless, here's what the president said today about the deal that just blew up in his face. Listen.
This is not done until it's done. And the next 2 to 3 months of negotiations are going to be absolutely critical for making sure that we are memorializing an agreement that gives us confidence and gives the world confidence that Iran, in fact, is not pursuing a nuclear weapon.
I would suggest that he send either Barbara Mikulski or Barbara Boxer to do the deal. The Iranians would sign anything just to get out of the room. See, he had the wrong one signing the deal. He had John Kerry there. You put Box in a room with Iranians or Mikulski, they'd say, we give up. We don't want any nukes. Just let me out of here. Open the door. Sometimes you have to get comedic to survive this. This is unbelievable. How does a president get away with day in and day out the Pinocchio over and over again? Pinocchio Obama. Remember I called him Pinocchio Obama? Another bumper sticker. Pinocchio Obama. But there he is again. The other day it was a done deal. Now it's 3 months of negotiation. And who's going to negotiate it? The same Schmendricks who gave us the fake fact sheet. It's fabulous. So he wants you to believe that it's a deal. It's a done deal. It's like Obamacare. You'll know what's in it after we sign it. Everything the guy does is a charade and a half measure. At best, it's a half measure. Now he's got to sell Congress on the agreement, a nasty little Congress. That you remember that antiquated institution called Congress? Obama's tried to eliminate it. It's kind of a quaint institution, isn't it? From the age of the horse and buggy, the buggy whip. Ah, Congress, come now. Come now with Congress. That was then, this is now. We do selfies today and we make up our own minds. We don't need those guys. Who are they? What Congress? I'll do what I want. Let them fight over it. I'm off to Jamaica on another golfing trip. Who was it who said about Congress? It was Marie Harf today. We have that one, Robert. Play John Kerry on Congress. Listen to the idiocy and the imperiousness of this commentary by John Kerry.
Congress is going to vote. Congress can vote any day it wants to. You know, the majority leader has the right to bring something to the floor and have a vote. So this is really, I think, a little bit excessive. I mean, the truth is also Congress will have to vote to lift ultimately some of the sanctions which are congressionally mandated. So we all understand the process here, and I think we just need to be serious in a way that does not interfere with the president's ability to pursue the foreign policy interests of our nation.
Well, when you heard him lying, you heard when they go into that Harvard thing, when they start whistling, foreign policy interests of the nation, he's go whistling in the dark. Hey, I can read it without a meter. Foreign policy interests of the nation. Yeah, right. How about the foreign policy interests of the foreign policy? How about the foreign policy interests of Iran is what he sounds like he just signed. You signed away. Yeah, Mr. Quisling. John Quisling Kerry. They're not the foreign policy interests of America, nor of the West. Those are the foreign policy interests of the terrorist state known as Iran. The Islamic Republic of, you want to call it, the Islamic dictatorship of Iran. Or Islamic Republic. Yeah, Mao Zedong called it China called it the Republic, also another one, some Republic. You get shot if you disagreed with them. That's their idea of a Republic. But Kerry, you have a Congress. They have to do a few things on sanctions, but stay out of our way. We know what we're doing here. I'm smart. I can handle things. Not stupid, like people say.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart, and I want the steps.
See, that could be the zeitgeist of John Kerry just now. He's smart. He got the deal done in Iran's interest. He put out a fact sheet that no one believed except Marie Harf. And he wants respect. And let that meddlesome Congress stay out of the way. That antiquated, quaint little thing called Congress that rattles along, you know, that we the sheeple believe actually works. When I come back, we continue on all the news of the day, including the police shooting in South Carolina, right here on the Savage Nation. And if I didn't say be here or be nowhere, wouldn't you be disappointed, all you infidels? Hello, infidels. I'll be right back. Sorority is a complete lie. The Ayatollah said the fact sheet was, quote, contrary to what was agreed to. In another statement, the Supreme Leader said, I'm really worried as the other side is into lying and breaching promises. An example was the White House fact sheet, close quote. In other words, he's calling Obama what he is, what we know him to be, a liar. So even the Iranians are saying he's a liar. Now we have the other topic of the police shooting. If you haven't seen the videotape, watch it. It's sickening. Black guy is stopped because he has a broken taillight. There's a scuffle, apparently. The black guy runs away. He's unarmed, no arms, and the cop shoots him in the back 8 times. Misses 7 times, apparently. Hits him the 8th time. Then the cop goes up and throws the taser down next to him and reports that he took his taser. Sorry, open and shut case. No, don't support this, please. Don't call up and tell me the brave cop was afraid for his life. That's question number one. There is no question. A very interesting exchange took place between a reporter named Matt Lee from the AP, who I believe he is the one who stands up to this moron in the State Department, this Marie Barf, who is the product of an insane liberal upbringing where everything is a joke to her and everything is a mockery and everything is laughing at people. Nothing matters. So let's listen to the full exchange between the Associated Press reporter, a real journalist, Matt Lee, and this laughing stock who should have been fired after she said that in order to stop ISIS, they should have a job training program. Remember that from last month? Her answer to the problem of ISIS is not the Quran and the hateful ideology they're following. No, the answer is for them to put down their weapons and pick up, I don't know what, a jobs training program? They're going to flip camel burgers in Iraq? Let's listen in today.
Has the secretary spoken to Henry Kissinger?
I said he's spoken to some of his predecessors here. I'm not probably going to get into more specifics.
Why,
yes.
Well, why not? Because if he has, spoken
to
Kissinger and Schultz, they clearly weren't very persuaded.
I'm happy to check on the full list.
This, their column is far from nuanced, I think. Basically
really?
Says that this
you don't
is,
think it's nuanced?
Well, I've read it, and
I also read it.
Yeah, and you don't think it's pretty damning?
I wouldn't say that it's damning. I think that there are a lot of opinions on this, and the secretary is happy to speak to people to let them know what we've done, and that conversation will continue.
All right. Well, maybe there's invisible ink or something like that, or you're reading
between
the
lines. Is there a question, or are you just commenting?
I want to know what you just
I'm not
going to
go line by line.
Outright? I mean, they say no. that this is a recipe for disaster, basically. You say no, clearly. You wouldn't be pursuing something you thought was a recipe for disaster. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So one of the things they say is that absent a linkage between nuclear and political restraint, America's traditional allies will conclude that the U.S. has traded temporary nuclear cooperation for acquiescence to Iranian hegemony in the region. Not true.
I would obviously disagree with that. I think that an Iran backed up by a nuclear weapon would be more able to project power in the region. And so that's why we don't want them to get a nuclear weapon. That's what this deal does. And I didn't hear a lot of alternatives. I heard a lot of sort of big words and big thoughts in that piece.
This is this snotty girl who works for John Kerry, who says, once you hear the word sort of, you know where she's coming from. This is a why do I call Obama run by a sorority? This is the mind of a sorority girl. Now, she's talking about Henry Kissinger's incredible piece in the Wall Street Journal, written, by the way, with another former Secretary of State who I respect greatly, George Shultz, where they spell out the consequences of the Iran deal in great detail. And this lowlife, this nobody, this nonentity, as they used to say back when, this nonentity girl says, I heard a lot of sort of big words and big thoughts in that piece. Yeah, and there's a place for that. You hear a lot of big words. I can't believe what level this individual in the White House has sunk the American experience down to. He has trashed the White House to a level I don't know if we can ever recover from it. So what am I asking you? Nothing. But the piece by Kissinger and Shultz is the issue. 2,000 words, published in the Wall Street Journal, the Iran deal and its consequences. And basically they're saying it lets Iran get what they want, and it makes the world a much more dangerous place, in plain English. The next day, we wake up and Iran raises the stakes and says, guess what? The sanctions that you have on us will not be removed slowly, as we agreed to. They must be lifted on the same day as the nuclear deal. Go to hell. Because they know they have a weak opponent in John Kerry and Barack Obama. Now, I've been criticized for calling the president insane yesterday, but I try to take you step by step down the process. I said he is only a man. Why is he above the laws of humanity? A man can get a cold. A man can get the flu. A man can get pneumonia. A man can become ill in many ways, including mentally ill. Aren't we told by the liberals that mental illness is prevalent and it must be part of Obamacare because everyone seems to suffer from it? So if mankind can suffer from various ills, including mental illness, why is it possible that a president could not be suffering from a mental illness? So I've proven to you that it is logically possible for a president, I didn't say Obama, to be mentally ill. So now let's go to the specific case of the mentally ill president that we have, Obama, because I think he's showing all the signs of a clear mental illness. Why do I say it? Because the choices are either A, B, and C. He signs a deal with Iran, or allegedly lays out a deal with Iran. He trumpets it as a great salvation for the world. And today we wake up and the supreme bugaboo of Iran, whatever his name is, says that all the sanctions must be lifted on the same day as the nuclear deal, period. In other words, they raise the stakes. They know they're dealing with someone who doesn't have a full deck himself. They know he's a guy who's going to do a deal at all costs. They know that Kerry is a fraud and a liar. And they know that they got everything they wanted, so they're raising the stakes. It's the way it's done. They're Middle Easterners. That's how you buy and sell rugs. If someone offers you the price that you've asked for, you raise the price. See, they're raising the price. That's how they do business. But he said Iran's sanctions must be lifted on the same day as the nuclear deal, Rouhani. So in other words, Obama's been proven to be A. I'm going to give you three choices. A, naive. B, crazy. Or C, a collaborator. Now, none of you want to believe he's a collaborator with Iran, right? Most of you don't want to agree he's naive because he's the smartest man in the history of the world. That leaves us with choice three. I rest my case. Iran is openly mocking Obama. And yet the golfer continues to push the so-called deal, which leads us back where we started from, to the next point, which is the police killing in South Carolina. I didn't think I was going to handle this when it happened because to me it was an open and shut case of homicide. The policeman committed murder. He should be arrested for murder and given the death penalty. Don't get shocked. Just as there can be renegade presidents, there can be renegade police. We have a renegade out of control presidency, and we have a renegade out of control cop in this case. There's no defending what happened. The cop was not fearful for his life. He shot him in the back. He was not only retreating, he was running away. See, let me put it this way. I have a conceal and carry permit, which is very difficult to get. And I studied all the laws of owning a gun. Do you know how severe the punishment is for shooting somebody as a citizen
Do you know how many different things you have to consider before you can pull a gun and even take it out of your pocket? Now, a policeman is in a category of his own. He is licensed by the state to kill, but he has very severe restrictions upon that license to kill, as he should, or else we'd have the equivalent of ISIS in Syria, where they can go around shooting you for no reason. Now you have a case here that I know as a citizen that if I got into an altercation with someone and the man was running away from me and I shot him in the back, I'd be charged with homicide, as I should, because I wasn't in fear of my life. There was a case in Marin County, California, not long ago, of a traffic light, a road rage incident. A guy trailed the other guy all the way home, two men in their early 70s. And a guy was retreating, he was running away, trying to get away from the lunatic that gave him the finger. All he did was actually pass the guy over at a stoplight. So the guy who's retreating drives to his garage, he's terrified, and the lunatic behind him not only pursues him to his house, but he crashes his Mercedes into the guy's garage door and threatens him and his wife. So the guy in the garage pulls out a gun, fires two warning shots, which was his mistake, by the way, and then shoots the guy three times, and the guy lives. All right, so they threw the book at the guy who shot him. That case is all wrong, because he was fearful for his life. The guy had invaded his home. Everything is wrong about this case. It's just a vicious, sick DA in Marin County, California. He's crazier than the cop shooter. This DA is worse than the cop. But nevertheless, there's an example. It specifically says the rules of engagement that you cannot discharge that firearm at another individual unless you are fearful for your life. You're telling me that this cop in South Carolina was afraid for his life when the guy was already, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away from him, and he shoots him like an animal in a wood? I mean, you look at the video, it's crazy how anyone could justify this. He was retreating, not retreating, he ran away. So he said, call in the guy, this looks like this. They could have caught him within 3 minutes, two other police cars. He hadn't raped anyone. Well, he committed a big crime, truthfully. The black guy committed a huge crime. He had a broken taillight. That justifies shooting him in the back, doesn't it? Are you crazy? Listen, being a cop is the toughest job in America. The toughest job. I don't know who could do it anymore with this psychopathic administration we have and with this race baiter, Eric Holder, and this psychopath loser, Al Sharpton, running across the land. I don't know who could do the job anymore. But that doesn't justify shooting a man in the back. That's how I see it. Okay? That's how I see it. Now, we could talk about this. And in the Garner case, he was the big guy. You got to watch the video, or else, if you haven't seen the video, these two videos, please don't call the show. Jim, you got to ask the guys if they've seen the videos. Otherwise, I'm going to be talking in an esoteric manner about something they don't know. I watched both videos. In the Garner case, the black man was selling cigarettes. They choked him to death. He was begging for his life. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. My heart went out to him. It was like an animal being taken down. Sickening. And I looked at the cop, believe me, with the tattooed arms, the big reptile arms, the python arms, bar brawler, the type that would choke you to death in a bar if you looked at him the wrong way. Good, and we need tough guys in the police force. We do, but they need constraint. They need constraint. I love tough men who have loads of testosterone in the police department. I don't need sissies, and I don't need feminists who can't take down big men who commit real crimes. I like strong, tough cops who have the guts to take down a criminal. But no, it does not justify shooting a man in the back. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I wouldn't say this is an earth-shattering headline. Barry Manilow marries manager Gary Keefe. So I had to look it up. Gary, I figured it's a woman. I don't know why that's a news story. But once again, it's the gay. Got to get the gay in every day. Barry Manilow tied the knot last year, marrying his longtime manager, Gary Keefe. Surprise even to the couple's 20th, 30 guests. But you have to read the whole article. With legions of female fans known as Fanny Lows, Manilow, 71, has long tried to keep his sexual orientation out of the public eye. Blah, blah, blah. Even kept the names of his pets a secret. So now at 71, he's finally married his manager. Okay. And that's 71. We have to know that. Now I have to know that when I listen to his songs, I have to listen and think about his sex. Why do I have to know that? Why is that important? Couldn't he just keep it to himself? No. No, everyone has to tell you everything about themselves. Here's another little story for you. Immigrants account for 1 in 11 blacks in the USA. A wave of immigration from the Caribbean, Africa, and Latin America is reshaping the USA's black population, new findings show, with no sign of ending soon. About 1 in 11 blacks in America are foreign-born. The figure is likely to rise to 1 in 6 by 2060. So that's an interesting story. Using U.S. Census Bureau data, Pew found that a record 3.8 million black immigrants live in the USA, more than four times as many as in 1980. Taken as a group, black immigrants, the vast majority of them from the Caribbean and Africa, comprise nearly 9% of the nation's black population, three times their share in 1980. Very interesting. Wonder what that's about. So let's look into the type of immigrant that's being brought in. In a few places, black immigration populations equal or exceed the 2060 projection, including 15% of the black population in the Washington metro area, 28% in the New York metro area, 34% in Miami. As a group, the study found about one-fourth of black immigrants, 25 and older, have a bachelor's degree or higher. That's good. Slightly lower than the overall U.S. population. They're about even with the rest of the population when it comes to advanced degrees. Well, that's very interesting. Certainly different than the Hispanic population that Obama's bringing in. How come no one does the data? The Pews are such experts on this, dissecting the black population with regard to education. What do you think the percentage is of illegal aliens coming in by the train load under Obama with bachelor's degrees from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras? Would you say it's 25% of them have bachelor's degrees? No, are you kidding? How can you have a bachelor's degree if you're illiterate in Spanish? If they had a bachelor's degree, they would stay in Guatemala or Honduras. So this is, why does the USA Today quote the Pew study on blacks and what their education level is without telling us what the Hispanic education level is? Why? It's all part of the same propaganda. Boy, would I be fuming if I were an African-American over this. It's like picking on them. Listeria, a risk for pregnant women, babies, and elderly. Where do you think the listeria is coming from? Lavos los manos. Listeria, a risk for pregnant women, babies, and elderly. Take your life in your hands in a restaurant today. If you had a microscope, you wouldn't touch a napkin. If you went to dinner at an average restaurant in America today, and you could see what's actually on your napkin, on your fork, on your plate, I don't think you'd ever eat again. It would be impossible to believe. I don't want to get in. No scatological jokes. But the truth is, I mean, the hygiene. When you bring in masses of people from the third world where there is no hygiene, none whatsoever, what do you expect such individuals to do when they work serving you your food? Suddenly they're going to move up to the level of America, what it was 10 years ago? Is your refrigerator a breeding ground for listeria? Ooh, go and spray it. Spray everything with Lysol. Spray your children's eyes and nose and throat. Open for mommy. Spray with Lysol. Now, you may die of cancer, Johnny, but you're going to have the cleanest nose and throat in America. You'll be sanitized, homogenized, and you'll just be a perfect little American. Savage Nation, thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. Be here or be nowhere.